This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcometonow. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to build happier habits into daily life. This week, we'll talk about why you should take a scent snapshot of your life and how to face the happiness stumbling block of leaving home for the first time. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness and human nature. Usually I'm in New York City, but today I am not. I am face to face, which I don't often get to do, with my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. Elizabeth, it's so fun to be sitting right across the table from you.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in Los Angeles. And yes, Gretch, today we are just outside of Big Timber, Montana, celebrating some milestone birthdays in the family.
Yes, it's our parents and my husband Jamie's parents, like, all have birthdays that are clustered together. So we're having this all-family roundup birthday celebration outing. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and it is gorgeous here.
Yes, there's mountains, there's a river, there's wildflowers growing. Right now we're in a cabin with wood walls and a stone fireplace. And Eliza is our guest producer.
Yes.
Thank you, Eliza.
Thanks, Eliza. Now, Gretchen, our listeners all want to know why we never have our parents on the show. And they also want to hear from our husbands.
Yes.
Who are all here
in Montana with us.
Be on the podcast today, but none of them want to be.
No.
Our husbands say they will do it, but it sort of keeps getting put off.
Yes.
But we have one person in the family who very nicely agrees to be on the podcast whenever we ask her, and that's Eliza.
Yes. Our parents absolutely do not want to do it. And if you're the Happier podcast, you don't want to make somebody unhappy by, I am a happiness bully, but for this, I let our parents off the hook. But so before we start launching in today's episode, we want to remind our listeners about Happier Labor Day. Let us know what you're thinking. You can use the hashtag Happier Labor Day. And this is in honor of Labor Day this year. We want people to be thinking about, well, what would it take for me to be happier in my work life? What is Labor Day going to mean for me this year going forward?
Yeah. And on Happier in Hollywood, Gretchen, we're going to talk about, does your work define you and should it?
Ooh.
Which is an interesting Labor Day question.
Yes. So things people could be thinking about and letting us know in advance are, what are your questions? Like, what's kind of worrying you? What are you kind of vowing?
What are your goals for this year at work?
Yeah. Do you want to start a side hustle? Do you want to gain a new skill? Do you want to ask for a raise? Mm-hmm. One-word mantras. I've had a one-word work mantra for a couple years, and I know you have too.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and you have your work mantra of relentlessly entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, we've gotten a lot of great responses, and we want to hear more. So email us, leave us a voicemail, or put it on social media under the hashtag Happier Labor Day. And Elizabeth, partially inspired by being in Montana, our Try This at Home tip for this week is to take a scent snapshot of your life. Here in Montana, because we're in a new place and a very beautiful kind of natural place, you really notice the different smells, and it got us focused on scent.
Yeah, this morning it was the smell of cinnamon rolls.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Homemade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this idea that each phase of your life is sort of defined by certain scents.
Yes.
And that when you focus in on those, you're really sort of taking a snapshot of your whole life with these scents.
Yeah. No, I'm fascinated by scent. I mean, ever since I wrote Happier at Home, I've been really preoccupied with the role that smell can play. And you realize, like, it could be a whole era of your life, like middle school, or like for us here in Montana, it's kind of, what are some of the smells? Like, the dust of the road, cup of coffee.
The smell of the lodge where all the meals are has a very pleasant, distinctive smell.
Yeah, it's kind of a wood smoke. And it's hard to, what is that? It's the smell of the lodge. Meadows, when we went for a walk yesterday, there was the smell of kind of, then there's the river smell, horses smell. Yes,
and bug spray.
Oh, yeah.
the wonderful scent of bug spray mixed with sunscreen is a distinctive scent.
Well, it's funny that you say that because Eleanor, when she was putting on bug spray, and she said, oh, it smells like summer camp.
So for her,
it was already associated with a scent.
Yeah.
So if you were going to think about your regular life, what's the scent snapshot of your life right now?
Well, Jack's hair, that's big. I'm like, that's my favorite smell, of course.
Yeah.
The smell of insulin, which you would think it doesn't really have a smell, but it sort of, it does. It has a very sharp, acrid smell.
Really? I did not know that.
So that, of course, unfortunately, will be my lifelong scent snapshot.
Yeah.
And then another smell that's very particular to right now for me, because, you know, Sarah and I are starting our show, The Fix, for ABC. And right now we're in the process of building all the sets.
Ah.
And so we go on the stage where the sets are in process, and it's a very distinctive smell of wood as it's being cut. And
so they're literally building them. I kind of always thought that was metaphoric. So, but they like actually build them.
Yeah. We have construction crews going day and night. We have a day crew and a night crew. And if you go over there, they're just hammering and sawing and building things all day long.
So it's that smell.
It's
of
a
stuff
very
being built.
Distinctive smell.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because I would have said a few months ago that the smell of the parking garage would be a very distinctive smell.
I remember when I visited you going through that big parking garage.
But now, Gretch, because we have our own show, we have a parking spot right outside the building. Ooh. So I don't have to go in the parking garage. So that's nice. I'm happy to give up that smell.
But that's a good example of how a scent kind of captures a moment, because like the scent of what you were doing before, there's a lot of overlap, but then there are certain things that are changing.
Yes.
And that's how this snapshot of your life is a little bit different from even 2 months ago.
Yeah, no, it's true. And another smell like in my life now is Cynthia, Jack's nanny, sometimes bakes cookies, which I never bake cookies ever. But when I walk in and the house smells like cookies, that's a very distinctive like Jack's childhood smell.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, one thing is definitely nail polish remover, because Eliza and Eleanor are constantly doing their nails. And so I will walk in, I'm like, oh my gosh, like my eyes are watering. There's such a strong smell of nail polish and nail polish remover. Wet dog from Barnaby, nothing like wet dog smell. Our lobby of our building has a very distinctive smell. And a friend of mine said, like, your lobby has a very distinctive smell. It's not a bad smell, but it's distinctive. And it is a very distinctive smell.
It's funny as you say that, I can conjure up the smell of your lobby in my mind. And I'm rarely there.
Yeah. Eleanor has a new set of magic markers that have like that really heavy, like the, you know, the one good magic markers
have
a very particular smell. It's funny, Jamie, because we're here in Montana, and so I like went to give him a kiss, and he smells different from the way he usually does, because I think he must have just used some different shampoo or some different soap. And I'm like, you mentioned Jack's hair. It's like, well, I didn't really think that Jamie had such a particular smell, but then I really noticed that it was not what I expected. I was like, oh, you smell different.
A funny smell, Gretchen, right now in my life that will definitely define this time in my life is I bought a used car, but I didn't realize that a smoker had owned it before.
Oh.
So it still smells. We've had it clean like 3 different times, 3 different processes.
Oh.
It's now I'm used to it. Now it just smells familiar, but it's just funny because it's very distinctive.
Yes.
So as long as I have that car,
right.
From now on, whenever I smell that, I'll remember this time in my life with this car.
Well, I mean, I think that's what's fun about kind of the scent snapshot is like really thinking about, well, could I make a list and really come up with what are the paradigmatic scents of a particular time? Because, you know, one thing that I'm always thinking about is how do you make time feel more rich and more vivid? Mm-hmm. How do you call up memories? Like, I feel like I don't remember things very well, so I'm always trying to find new ways to remember things. And it's interesting, like when I say to myself, like, Elizabeth, remember the smell of Grandma and Grandpa's garage?
Yes.
I really love that smell. Very particular smell. Or like, you might have been too young, but there was this, when I was little, Mom used this very particular kind of hand cream, Jergens hand cream. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't like the smell or dislike it. It was just like a very distinctive smell. And I was thinking the other day, gosh, I wonder if I could just go like in the drugstore, smell that smell.
Yeah.
Because it so captures a particular time.
Well, it's like the cookie, right? In remembrance of things past. Instead of the taste, it's the smell.
Yeah, it's the smell. So, okay, so we're together. What are the smells of Kansas City for us?
Oh, wow. Winstead's.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Our favorite burger place.
Topsies.
Topsies,
yes.
But it has like popcorn. It makes popcorn. Fancy popcorn.
And like the smell of the air, the summer air smell. I don't know what that is.
It's a very particular smell.
It's kind of
cut grass and kind of heat. It's very humid.
Yeah.
Leaves. Remember the dime store with the wooden floor? It had a, that was that the dime store had a
one
very
of my favorite smells.
Favorite smells. That's such a good smell.
And Gretchen, I mean, the smell of the library we were little, the one that had the cool fountain.
Yes.
That was a very, I guess it's the smell of books.
What's the smell
mixed
of books,
with but, carpet?
But also the water, I think, because it had this like strange clear pipe that went up two stories and then just sort of burbled over. But yes, there was a very particular, and that, now I go to the library and I like it and it's a great library. But I'm like, oh, what I would give to go back to the library the way it was when we were little with that smell and just the way it was set up.
I really preferred that library, I must say.
Yeah, but maybe it's tied to. But that's the thing. It's like the smells that you associate with happy times or happy memories of the past have particular power, just like in the Proust example. So I think that this is a way of kind of locking in. Like you could say, oh, what are the smells of summer camp? What are the smells of the fall? What are the smells of seventh grade? What are the smells of the first year of your baby's life?
Yeah, but you know, Gretchen, it's funny because people always say, well, I wish I could bottle this.
Yes.
And it really is like, if you, like when your children are young, especially if you sort of pay attention to these smells, you can then always conjure them up, just like I can conjure up the smell of your lobby. You can conjure up the smell of your son's hair or something. You know?
Or like baby lotion. I love the smell of baby lotion. And we have a little bottle of it, and I just smell it sometimes. Yeah. Nobody uses it as lotion, but I just love the smell of it. Yeah. So let us know if you do try this at home and how taking a scent snapshot of your life works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes for this episode. This is episode 182. So it's happiercast.com/182 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got a happiness hack that's very appropriate for this trip. But first, this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Elizabeth, we have a happiness hack that is inspired by our Montana trip. Lay it on us.
Yes. This week, it's for a milestone celebration. Don't feel like you have to celebrate on or even near the date. Just do what makes sense.
Yes. Because we're here because it's this milestone birthday on Jamie's parents and our parents. But it's not close to anybody's birthday particularly. We were just like, if we want to take this trip, how do we make it work? So we're just celebrating birthdays
now,
because this is when the trip makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that is such a good idea because so often, I mean, someone's birthday is on a Wednesday, March, and that just may not be a good time to celebrate. And so rather than lose the whole special milestone, just move it.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Well, one of the things I have to confess that I wanted to have a big celebration for a big anniversary for Jamie and me, but I didn't get my act together in time. So we'd actually been married for like 1 or 2 years longer. But I was like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's like no one's keeping track except for me. So I just was like, whatever.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have my 30th birthday party. I never did have one.
Oh, that's good. I'll throw that for you. Oh, that's so funny. Yes, the 25th birthday party. Well, people do that with their honeymoons. A lot of people's honeymoons are not really right after their wedding. They'll pick, a couple years later.
Yeah. Adam and I still haven't taken a honeymoon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, unless you count a night in Kansas City as our honeymoon, which I do not.
I did not remember that. Well, I heard of a family. I thought this was very clever. So this family had a lot of siblings. And so it was very hard to get together either for Thanksgiving or Christmas because there was so much coordination with spouses and families and scheduling and everything. So what they did was they have Thanksmas. And so they pick a weekend between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that's like their designated family holiday. And so their spouses like it because then Thanksgiving and Christmas are free for the spouses' families or to do traveling or whatever else they want to do. And then they always can just pick a weekend in between. So that then because if they have like 7 or 9 siblings, you never get to see a bunch of people at once because it's just too hard to schedule. But this way, because they've designated their own family holiday right in that holiday season.
Right.
So it still feels very festive and everything. And they gave it a name, Thanksmas. I thought
that is such a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it can be very contentious, the big holidays.
Oh, yeah. And then their parents can just go visit one of them.
Yes.
So it's not like they're alone.
And then it's like somebody's got a new baby, so it's hard to travel. Or somebody's, somebody broke a leg. And you have a lot more flexibility that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great hacks. Celebrating milestones just when the time is right. Don't worry about the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Ignore the date. Okay, now it's time for a happiness stumbling block. And we have Eliza here, my daughter who just finished her freshman year of college. She's already starting to get geared up to go back, figuring out what she needs to pack. And so we want to talk about the stumbling block with her about leaving home for the first time. What are the challenges? What are some of the strategies and hacks for dealing with it? What you expect, what you didn't expect. So Eliza, what was it like to leave home for the first time? I mean, you went to summer camp and stuff, but this was the first time when you really lived away
somewhere else.
It's definitely a thing that you think about a lot, you prepare for a lot. And then I ended up being homesick in different ways, I think, than I predicted. Like I predicted, even when I was on like a pre-orientation trip, I predicted being homesick for like the first 3 weeks and then it's fine. But ultimately that wasn't really how it panned out for me. The way it was more like, I'm desperately scared. It's move-in day. And then I'm alone and it's kind of fine and everything's busy. But slowly, there are just like random days when you don't have enough to do and you remember your friends at home and you remember all the things that you might have done. And so I think keeping busy was definitely important. Something that Mom and Eleanor did for me, which was definitely a thing that I would recommend as a transit home from my mom that she's just maybe didn't tell you, is they left me wrapped presents for when I got sad.
Aww. And we called it the blues bag.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So they left that. So I kept that kind of on one of my shelves and I really doled it out over the year. And I noticed that definitely I used up a lot more of those in the beginning. Then in the end, or I would use a lot more at one time. It wasn't like kind of randomly spaced out. And I think that's just for everyone, something that maybe you don't get warned about, or maybe you do, and I just didn't pay enough attention. I think it's kind of deceptive that like it's the best 4 years of your life because it could be the best like 3 years of your life. But I think the first one is meant to be really confusing and tricky. So there's a lot of what do I value and what am I going to choose to spend my time doing, because I think one of the things that's really different is that you're very in charge of your time. And you and you realize, like, okay, so I do have a set number of hours in my day, but I can kind of pick, you can kind of pick which hours you're awake, what you're doing with those hours, how many of them you're awake for, what do you prioritize? So, like, I valued doing the radio station, so I would be up from 3:30 a.m. to 5 a.m. on Thursdays. Wow. Which meant that I was just prioritizing that over maybe
sleep.
Yeah, sleep and maybe like the class the next day, you know, like not that I wouldn't go, but I'm obviously not going to be as well prepared for it as I would have been. So
I have a question. Because when we went to college, we were almost never in touch with our parents. We would talk, I'd say maximum once a week.
Yeah.
But you can text or call all day long. Do you think that helps the stumbling block of being away for the first time? Or do you think it hurts because you sort of are always attached to home, even though you're not living there?
I think.
Or both.
I think it's nice to fall back on for sure. Like, I felt like it was so easy to contact them if I was having a rough time that it wasn't like a dramatic thing that I would have to, you know, write a letter and then wait, you know, or go somewhere to call them. Like, I could really just be outside of class and in 2 minutes be talking to my parents. And it was nice, you know, having a little sister who's like, you know, she's in seventh grade, or she was in seventh grade. So it's nice to be able to have that contact when we're both going through new things. I don't know. There's different degrees of some people just totally cut off from their parents and are like, I'm not going to talk to you unless you force me to talk to you. Or like, I haven't talked to my parents in weeks. And then other people are like, oh, yeah, I talk to my parents every day, or I just text them little things. And that's kind of, we're somewhere in the middle where it's like, yeah, my dad will shoot me a funny tweet he saw versus like, my darling daughter, I miss you so much. It has been now 3 months since I last saw your face. Yeah. So it's just, I feel like it's really whatever the way that we were at home is the way that we are when I'm away, which is to say, like, not dramatic, but very like in touch.
Well, as you know, one of the things that I was very focused on as I thought as a potential stumbling block for you going away home for the first time was like, were you going to be getting enough sleep? Were you going to like let yourself get too hungry? Were you going to exercise regularly? Because I know you just feel like that makes you feel good over the long term. Were you going to be, you know, procrastinating about things in a way that would make you ultimately more stressed out? So I was very focused on kind of like the day-to-day mechanics of just sort of like taking care of yourself. Did you feel like you did that came pretty easily, or did you have to figure out how to recreate all those structures for you when you really, like you say, you could do anything or nothing. And I'm sure people around you, some were being like training for varsity sports, and then some people were just like doing absolutely nothing and being big slackers. How did you manage just that kind of taking care of yourself?
Well, I was really impressed with myself every time I would go to the gym. I would send a text. I'd be like, guess who did gym laundry and slept today? Like, you will never believe it. Her daughter. I felt like it was definitely something important that I was really aware of, because, I mean, a lot of people are going to the gym all the time, which is something I didn't really think about. But like, it's just a thing that people are doing that I didn't expect them to do. I thought it was going to be like, hey, we're all finally like free and not being watched, so let's all not go to the gym. But actually, everyone's doing that all the time, at least what I saw. Sleep, I would say, is something I definitely neglected. Like, getting into second semester, I was getting no sleep. I guess because I was just so thrown off from that 3:30 to 5 a.m. Like, I know it was one day a week, but it would really mess me up, and so I'd be sleepy all the time. And like, I'm accidentally, first semester I was fine, and then second semester I had to set like 12 alarms, and I would never wake up, or I would wake up for them, do like shut it off, go back to sleep, and just in my sleep shut them off. So it was really horrible, and I was missing a lot of things that I didn't want to be missing. So I feel like that's one of those things where I don't really know what the right answer was. Like, I don't know if I should have prioritized my sleep or if I did the right thing because it got me into a community and it provided a lot of fun, and it was first semester, so it doesn't really matter if you miss stuff.
Well, it's interesting thinking about things like that, like being in that community could be more important.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. And long-term.
Yeah.
And things like eating was a thing just like scheduling wise that I feel like I should have done better. And maybe I'll do better the next year or years, but I didn't eat, like, people either eat breakfast every day or you never eat breakfast. And I was a person who like never ate breakfast. And I feel like looking back, I probably should have done a better job of having regular, like a scheduled meal thing, which I know like my mom would say, versus some people just eat like 12 Kind bars a day, you know, right. And some people are running from class to class. And I was somewhere, I don't know, I think in the coming years, I should do a better job of that.
Do you feel like you grew up a lot this year? Was it like a big developmental year for you?
Yes. I don't know if growing up as much as learning. There's just a lot of having to identify like what's important to you, like I said, and just like figuring out what things you took for granted about yourself that people don't. Like even just like, yeah, I'm from New York. Well, yeah, you've grown up with 130 kids from kindergarten to 12th grade who all that's a given for, and every person that's a given. But now it's like, oh, there are New York people. You have to figure out where you are in relation to the New York people and who you are in relation to people who aren't from New York. Like that's just one thing that I thought about all the time, was like my identity as a New Yorker, not because I was like, am I proud of this? Am I not proud? But just because it's like, it's just a thing that everyone thinks about, because the first thing you're going to ask someone is, where are you from?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember that, because being from Missouri, there weren't that many people from Missouri when I went to college. And so it was like a big thing. Be like, oh, I'm from Missouri too. And I mean, like, they'd be from St. Louis. We have nothing. Right. It's like 8 hours of a car drive apart. And yet you felt this incredible sense of relationship. We're both here. And Eliza, you've talked to, I know over the course of the summer, you've talked to your friends. Do you think that your friends were surprised by the challenges of leaving home? Do you think people are sort of ready for it? And even if it's hard, they kind of are, they're mentally prepared? Or do you think it's almost like you can't anticipate what the challenges are going to be until you go through it yourself for the first time? Because I think a lot of parents or whomever would like to help prepare you for it, but maybe it's the kind of thing where you just sort of have to experience it, because leaving home for the first time is just something that you go through.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny, especially like with friends who have taken gap years, of which I have a few, you really do think about what you've learned, not because you're like, oh, I've learned so much more than you did in your gap year, but because they're like, okay, I know exactly how I'm going to handle all of these specific things. And you're like, no, you really don't. Like, I've only got like, what, 9 months more than you do. But I feel like, I don't know, it's hard, because since I was only a freshman, like I'm only 1 year in, I feel totally unqualified even to be a sophomore, let alone like give advice to someone who's going to be a freshman. But when you hear people talk about, like, one of my friends took a gap year and she was talking about whether she should choose a roommate at her school or do random. And all of us were like, you don't know anything. Like, you should do random. Obviously, you should do random. Like, that's so the better choice.
Yeah.
And she's already got a way that she thinks that she should handle it. And we all are like, even those few months, we feel like we're so sure that we've encountered the problems that she doesn't even know about yet. So I don't know. It's funny to see different degrees of being aware. But I mean, somehow, like at my school, there are peer advisors. So I, you know, someone my age who's only got as much experience as I do can be advising someone younger. So I guess that goes to show how they think that you might have matured over those few months.
And you've just been in it. So you really know the problems more than someone who was in it 15 years ago.
Yeah. No, I mean, and it's funny to see how the problems range from like having a crisis in your major and having a crisis because you don't like being away from home or you left too early. There's just a real range of things there that hopefully you have like a support system that can handle that with you.
Well, Eliza, thanks for both being our guest producer today and being our interview guest, because I think it's a question that a lot of people think about. And of course, you've got your podcast, Eliza Starting at 16, where you talk a lot about these kinds of issues, and you sort of talked about it in real time as they were unfolding. So it's interesting. I bet years from now, it'll be interesting for you to think back on the intensity of this real milestone in everybody's life, which is leaving home for the first time.
Yeah. And Gretchen, and another podcast will have to have a happiness stumbling block of having your kids leave home for the first time.
Yes.
The other side.
Yeah, the other side of it. So thanks, Eliza.
Thanks, Eliza.
Thank you.
Coming up, Gretchen gives me a gold star.
Aww.
The first this spring.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Elizabeth, right this second, I am wearing my sweater from Quince. It's the Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater in Everglade green. It feels so great, and it came in so many gorgeous colors. I love this green.
Yeah, Gretchen, I got the same sweater in white, and I absolutely love it. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen.
Okay, it's time for demerits and gold stars. And Elizabeth, this week you are up for a demerit.
All right, Gretch. Well, my demerit this week, and I must say it's really not even on my mind in the last couple of days being in Montana, but I did, it's sort of a half demerit. So a half gold star, half demerit, because I did start Jenny Craig. I think I gave myself a demerit a few weeks ago that I hadn't like called and followed through.
Yeah.
I have started, been going every week, doing the whole thing, but I haven't been religiously following the regimen. I've kind of used it more as a guideline. So I've been doing the Jenny Craig food, but adding, unfortunately, a lot of snacking to that. So it's not as effective as it could be. So I'm trying, but I'm not succeeding fully. But, you know, so I need to get, when we get back from Montana, I need to get more regimented.
Yeah. Well, this line, it's a guideline, reminds me of this scene that I love from the original Ghostbusters movie. Do you remember this? Where the main character, Peter Venkman, who's played by Bill Murray, he's getting passionately kissed by Dana Barrett, who's played by Sigourney Weaver, but she's been possessed by a demon. And so he's trying to resist, and he's talking about something being more of a guideline than a rule.
I make it a rule never to get involved with possessed people.
Actually, it's more of a guideline than a rule.
Oh, that's how I'm feeling right now. It's my Jenny Craig. Okay, Gretch, but take us up with a gold star. I happen to know it's for me.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Well, this is a super, super busy time for you, as everybody who listens to Happier in Hollywood knows. And as I know, your show, The Fix, is like getting underway. You are in the thick of it. It's exciting, but it's also kind of all consuming. And yet you committed to coming to this special milestone birthday celebration, and you're here and you're hanging out, and just gold star, because I know that sometimes it feels hard to extricate yourself from a very intense situation. And I'm sure it was like hard to think about planning ahead and packing and being gone. And, but it just, it's so important to everybody that you're here and that Adam and Jack are here. And so you get a gold star for making the effort to be here, because it's something I think we'll remember for the rest of our lives.
Yes. Thank you. It was really important for me to be here. I didn't want to miss it. And I have to pass on gold stars to Sarah and Marsha.
Yes.
Who are, you know, doing all the work back in LA and let me off the hook for a couple of days. So gold star to them.
Gold stars all around.
Did you call it LA?
Did I? No, but that's funny.
Oh, that's funny.
I meant to say LA.
Oh, that'd be funny.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Take a scent snapshot of your life. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Odelia Rubin, who's joining us via FaceTime audio today because we don't have any cell reception.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to our guest producer, Eliza Rubin, who did a beautiful job recording us. Also, thanks to Andy Bowers and Kristen Meinzer of Panoply. Also, Gretchen, we want to have a special shout-out thank you to all of our advertisers who let us do this podcast for free through their advertising.
Yeah. Some people like to listen ad-free, but then you have to put the podcast behind a paywall and get subscription. And we know from our listeners that a lot of people prefer to listen for free, and it's advertisers who let us do that. So thank you, advertisers. Gold star for you.
Yes. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting app. We say subscribe, but actually, sometimes the word subscribe means that you're signing up to pay for it. But in this case, subscribe just means that you get it automatically. You don't have to pay. As you know, if you listen to the podcast, I just wanted to remind everybody that I do a Facebook Live video every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern called Ask Gretchen Rubin Live. So watch that and join the conversation on Facebook about how to be happier.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.